Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. I'm Grant Reher, and my guest today is Ben Walsh. He's an independent running for mayor of Syracuse in the November elections. Ben will be on the Reform Party line, but he plans to be on his own line as well. He served previously in the Miner administration as head of business development, and currently he works at the McKenzie Hughes Law Firm. Ben, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Grant.
Well, let me just start with the most basic of questions, the overview. As mayor, what would your top issue priorities be in your first administration?
Yeah, it's hard to prioritize, but if I have to, I'd start with, in no particular order, education, crime, and poverty and the economy, which are obviously very related.
Okay. And tell me then, regarding those issue areas, what kinds of specific new policies would you be advocating and developing proposals for to put before the city council and the things that you could do on your own as well?
Sure. So starting with education, you know, it is an issue that's near and dear to my heart. I have two young daughters. My oldest is seven. She's in first grade in the city school district at the Syracuse Latin School. What I've seen as a parent in the city school district is some encouraging signs. The graduation rate is improving. It's not nearly what it needs to be, but it's improving. We've seen the graduation gap between black and white students close, which is, I think, significant and differentiates us from other communities struggling with those issues. And I'm also encouraged by what I'm seeing from the school district in terms of preparing kids for different career opportunities, what they're doing at Fowler, which is now the Public Service Leadership Academy, I think is a step in the right direction. So I think the role of mayor is to support those efforts. There's, of course, a superintendent, Jaime Alisea, who I have a great relationship with. There's a school board, many of those members who I have good relationships with. So it's supporting them. It's using the role of mayor to influence certain decisions from a budgetary standpoint. The school district takes up a significant portion of the city's budget. So it's just, I think, helping to guide them and also helping to address some of the more challenging issues that they haven't been as quick to overcome, namely school violence and other issues related to poverty, which which is extensive in this community.
So you don't see, it sounds like, a need to fundamentally turn the school system upside down or to make some major significant new change to it. I'm not hearing that, then.
No, as a parent, I'm encouraged by the steps that I'm seeing taken. We've got a lot of work to do. But, yeah, as mayor, I think it's a supportive role. It's not a leading role. So those are my thoughts specific to education.
And what about, you mentioned poverty. It's a huge issue, and certainly Syracuse has a significant problem there. And you also mentioned crime. Tell me a little bit about what kinds of policies on those issues you might want to try to advocate for as mayor.
Yeah, so on the issue of poverty, it is. We've shown up on all of the wrong lists for all of the wrong reasons. And you really have to tackle it at a number of different levels. You mentioned my role at the city for 6 years as the business development director. I believe I developed a strong track record of working with employers in the community, helping to create jobs and economic opportunity. And I think that the primary role of the city and within the world of economic development is really just to remove as many barriers as possible to keep businesses and entrepreneurs that are already doing business here from growing. You also have to look at tackling poverty from a workforce development side. And I think for too long, a lot of our workforce development programs have been focused more on just getting people trained and getting them certificates, but not working directly with the employers and making sure that people are being trained for jobs that actually exist. So there's a misalignment there that I think we're starting to tackle, but I think we could do more with. And then at the very basic level, we need to make sure that people are in a position to work, to gain employment. Going back to education, that's the first step, making sure that our children in the city are coming out of high school prepared to either work or to continue their education. There are basic soft skills that oftentimes are missing from people that are unemployed that, again, on a workforce development side, that we need to make sure we're building people's capacity to have those skills to be able to work. So it's really multiple different levels. engaging with a lot of different partners at every level of government and in the private sector. But I think that that's the way that we really need to tackle poverty comprehensively.
So let me drill down a little bit on the economic development piece, because I think given that that is your background, I'm guessing that this will be a big priority for you and some an area where you feel like you probably can make a difference. There is this debate or conversation that goes on concerning spurring more business development in the city. And for lack of a better way to put it, it's kind of like between, do you go after really big fish, the big projects, or do you focus more on smaller companies and smaller operations and try to build those up? Do you have an opinion about that? Because that the big project approach then brings up all these questions about tax abatements and so on.
Yeah, I think we always have to keep our eye out for the big opportunities. But I think where our time is best spent, where our resources are best invested, is on the small business side of things. You know, small businesses are where the majority of jobs are created. In my experience as the economic development director, it's a lot easier to work with a business or an entrepreneur that's already made the conscious decision to do business here in Syracuse rather than to try to go find someone or some company somewhere else and convince them to come here. So, again, my focus was always keeping an eye out for the bigger opportunities, but really engaging with people that are doing business here, figuring out what those barriers to growth are, and really digging down and trying to help remove those barriers.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Ben Walsh, independent candidate for Syracuse mayor. So there's a question that gets put to voters all the time, and it's thought to be fairly indicative of how they think about things more generally. I want to put it to you about Syracuse. Is Syracuse as a city, is it on the right track or the wrong track right now?
I am a glass half full kind of guy. I'm an eternal optimist. I also like to think I'm a realist, but I think we're on the right track. I think we have a lot of really positive things going on in this community. You look at some of the development that's happening in our urban core, downtown University Hill. There's a lot of investment that's being made in our community. You look at our neighborhoods. I think we've got all the bones in our neighborhoods. We've got schools. We have parks. We have a good housing stock. I think we have all the ingredients, and in many ways we're headed on the right track. We do have some really challenging problems. We talked about poverty. When I mentioned the housing stock, we do have a issue with vacant properties and other other quality of life issues in this community that need to be tackled. But again, I look around the city. I see that we have all the ingredients. I see that we have an amazing, diverse city, and I'm really hopeful, and I truly believe our best days are ahead of us.
So given that relatively optimistic view, I do want to ask you, though, what do you think is the most significant thing that the city's leadership during the past 8 years has gotten wrong? What's the biggest mistake that's been made?
Well, I look at really two things. We'll start with relationships. Relationships are critical in any line of work, and certainly in government. Spending 6 years in City Hall, my experience was that when relationships were good across the board, you know, I always go back to this time early on in my time at City Hall, maybe 2010 to 2012, when the mayor and the county executive were working really well together, and the county executive and the governor were really building a strong relationship. The mayor and the governor were working better together than they are now, and it wasn't just limited to government. You looked at our in the private sector. You had private sector leadership emerging. You had leadership at our not-for-profit institutions, and there was this alignment. And it really felt like we were starting to get somewhere. It felt like we were making some progress. And you know, and when the leaders have strong relationships, that filters down to staff. And when those relationships started to deteriorate, I think we all felt it and continue to feel it. So I think that a lot of good has come over the past 8 years, but I do believe that we could do a better job. And again, not just limited to City Hall, across the board, our leaders need to work better together.
And you said there were two things, so that was one. What was the other one?
That was one. Well, this is where maybe my the Maxwellian in me comes out. But when I looked around City Hall, I saw an opportunity for better management. In my role as department head, I was able to control my specific office and make sure that we had certain metrics and benchmarks in place, that we were holding ourselves accountable. I think that needs to be applied across the board in the city. I think that we all know that our financial resources are constrained, and all the more reason that we need to make sure we're managing an effective and efficient government. And I think there are a lot of opportunities to do a better job at that in City Hall.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Ben Walsh, independent candidate for Syracuse mayor. The election for mayor will take place this November. I wanted to talk to you a little bit, Ben, about you being an independent in a couple different ways. First, political parties are getting a lot of criticisms lately. People aren't very happy with the two-party system. And you've tapped some of that in the past explanations that I've read about why you are running as an independent. But again, I want to point out you'll be on the Reform Party line in November. But one of the things that parties do provide for voters and for the political process is some kind of basic organizational structure of positions so that people have some kind of idea of what they're voting for. Or if they don't have a terribly sophisticated idea of that, they do have a hunch. They do have a pretty good sort of gut sense of that there is a difference between Republicans and Democrats, and this is what that difference is about. So you don't provide that running as an independent. So first of all, can you articulate for me an overarching view of governance, your view of the role of government and its limits, so I have a sense of kind of where you sit on the continuum of political positions?
Well, I like to start out by reminding people that the job of the mayor oftentimes has very little to do with party politics. There's not a Republican or Democratic way to plow the streets or pick up garbage or manage departments. And I think that that's really important specific to this race and for the job that I'm seeking. In terms of other views, ideological views, I'm happy to talk about those. I do think that because we don't have that organizational structure of a political party, the onus is on us to make sure that and on me specifically to make sure that I'm clearly articulating my positions, and that's something that we're working on very hard right now to get our platform out there so people understand where I stand. But again, I go back to the job of the mayor and what it takes to manage government. And in my opinion, that has very little to do with party politics, let alone ideology.
Fair enough. But I still think there's a component there that is important to explore. So let me try it this way.
Okay.
I'm not going to use Donald Trump as the example because he's hard to pin down, mm-hmm. I think, in a lot of ways in terms of what his positions are. Let me use Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House. Okay, I think people have a fairly decent idea of where he is. So if you take Paul Ryan, let's put him on one end of the axis, and let's put Hillary Clinton on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, your positions and your basic views, which one are they closer to, Paul Ryan or Hillary Clinton?
Well, of course, exactly equidistant between the two of them, Grant. Listen. It depends on the issues. If you go to the standby, to the kind of the litmus tests, people would consider me socially liberal. I'm a big supporter of marriage equality, and that. On the social issues, again, if people tried to pin me, they'd probably see me as more liberal. On fiscal matters, and I know it's kind of cliche to say, but I'm probably considered more conservative. I do see.
So John Kasich, would that be close to you? Some person that other people will know.
I'm not trying to be some other person.
Right.
I'm Ben Walsh, and I'm running for mayor.
But who is Ben Walsh like? John Kasich, then?
Right. Well, those are your words. Again, I'm not trying to copy anybody else. I'm my own person. And again, you can put me in whatever category you want. But specific to the job that I'm seeking, I think my independence is important, not only for the type of leader that I am, but for the type of person that I am. I find that people when they ask me. When I tell them I'm running for mayor and they ask me what party I'm running in, and I tell them I'm an independent, there's this usually this moment of confusion when they can't peg me and they can't say, oh, well, you must be like John Kasich or Paul Ryan. But it usually creates a dialogue, and through that dialogue, I think we both end up understanding each other better. So that's where I try to focus my energy.
Let me push you one step further, and I'm going to be a little cheeky here, mm-hmm. but I know your father a little bit from past conversations on this program and other things, and I know of your grandfather, both very prominent local Republicans. One served as mayor, the other on city council, both members of Congress, both Republicans. So one might think, how could you not be a Republican? So I'm wondering if perhaps one might be tempted to think that you'd like to be a Democrat, but independent is as far as you're going to be comfortable going without alienating your family.
That's an interesting theory.
There's my psychological theory.
Yeah, sorry to disappoint you, but you know what I love about my father and my grandfather, my whole family, is that we're all raised to be independent thinkers. And while some people might have assumed that what was being ingrained in me was being a Republican, what was being ingrained in me was being a public servant, was giving back to the community. And that's what I've always gravitated towards. And frankly, the party politics was always the part that I had a hard time getting past. I've been an independent since I was 18 years old. I'd like to say I was really thoughtful when I made that decision, but I was 18, so I had my reasons then. But I've found that since I made that decision, I've never looked back. And the more I've grown into myself, both personally and professionally, it's where I think I should be.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guest is Syracuse mayoral candidate Ben Walsh. A different way to get at this, perhaps, but another question that I wanted to put to you regarding this. Complicating the issue, I think, for folks trying to get a bead on where you're coming from is the perception that might come from some of the donations that your campaign has received so far, and the Post Standard reported on this. A lot from downtown developers makes sense on the one hand because that's where your business experience and the work experience in the mayor's office was in. But nonetheless, there's going to be a concern that, you know, you're the developer's candidate. Could you address that?
Yeah, I think you rightly pointed out that that's who I spent most of my time working with over the past 6 years, developers, business owners. And what I take a lot of pride in is I think if you asked any one of them what their experience was working with me, they wouldn't say, oh, he gave us everything we asked for. He was a pushover. They'd say he treated us professionally. He was responsive. He provided good service. And when he did say no to us, he was direct and straightforward about it, and didn't just say no and walk away, but said no and tried to work out a deal. And so I take a lot of pride in that support because, again, I did have to say no to a lot of those people. We didn't always agree, but I think I developed a reputation as someone that was a straight shooter, that ultimately did bring the right people together to get things done, but always did so with the right priorities, understanding that we needed to maximize the community benefit of all of these projects. But when you can find that right balance between making sure that the community benefits, but also making it economically viable and allowing those developers and business owners to be successful, that's a win-win, and that's not always available. It's not always possible, but it usually is, and I think I did that a lot.
What's your position on the recommendation of a single metropolitan form of government for Onondaga County as it was put forward by the Consensus Commission? Where do you sit on that one?
So my experience working in city government was that there are a lot of opportunities for efficiency. I talked about some of those earlier. And I think that the role of Consensus, and in the interest of full disclosure, of course, my father was one of the three co-chairs of the Consensus Commission. I think that they provided a lot of valuable input and suggestions into ways that we collectively could run a more effective, efficient government. The idea of a fully consolidated city-county government is something that I've always been open to. Going back to my time at Maxwell, I actually wrote my capstone on city-county consolidation, and it's something I continue to be open to. I've read the consensus report. I'm not convinced that the model that was proposed with 33 legislators is exactly the right model. I'm also not convinced that we need to move quickly to get there. But I do think that it's something that's worth exploring. I think that in government there's a hesitation in being innovative and creative, and I think the fact that you've seen the folks that you've seen resist those recommendations are oftentimes the people that have the most invested in the status quo. So I think we need to be honest with ourselves about that. But again, I don't think we should predetermine the outcome. The other thing that's really important for me relative to that discussion as we work towards that is that what I've heard more than anything else is certain people within our community, specifically that come from marginalized communities, whether they're minorities or they're coming from poverty, is that there's a real concern that any consolidated government will result in them losing their voice or minimizing their voice. And that's unacceptable to me. And whether that's perception or reality, that's something that we need to confront very directly and make sure that not only that people feel like they have the same voice that they do now, but they have more of a voice. And until we get to that point, I think it's premature to go all in on consolidation, but I continue to be open to it.
And what about more specifically the idea of putting this on the ballot to have there be a referendum on it?
Ultimately, I do think that is the way that the decision needs to be made. It needs to be made by the voters, by the citizens. Again, I think what you've seen is people, elected officials that have a lot invested in the status quo are the ones that are resisting, but it's the people that should decide. Again, I just want to make sure that we don't rush that process. I also don't want to delay it forever, but once we feel like the majority of the questions and concerns have been addressed, yeah, let's put it to the voters, let's put it to the people and see what they think about it.
And we've only got really less than a minute left, but I wanted also to get your position on I-81. Where do you stand on what should be done with I-81?
I'm a strong supporter of the community grid option. I think that when we look at what kind of city we want to be going forward, 81 represents, antiquated. The elevated portion of 81 represents antiquated 20th century infrastructure. We're moving into a world where people are driving less, where in certain cities they're talking about having driverless vehicles, driverless flying vehicles. And so for us to double down on 20th century infrastructure at this point at this point in time, I think is a mistake. And I also think that when you look at all the development that's happening, all the opportunities to put more properties on the tax rolls, it's a no-brainer.
That was Ben Walsh. Ben, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thanks, Grant. Happy to be here.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.